mourning the victims in New Zealand.
There are people here who have lost sons and fathers and brothers and sisters.
As the suspect's family speaks out.
We're all gobsmacked. We don't know what to think.
Boeing subpoena, investigating the approval of the 737 MAX.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
And I'm Steve Futterman in Christchurch, New Zealand. It has become a nightly ritual here, the evening vigil. This is what it sounded like a few hours ago as hundreds showed up to pay their respects. This woman knows a husband and wife couple who were both shot.
The husband died later that night. The wife is still in hospital in a stable condition.
As these emotional vigils take place, the New Zealand government is already taking action.
We are of one mind.
Moving quickly to toughen this country's gun laws. Here's my CBS colleague in Christchurch, Ben Tracy.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says the government here has agreed on new gun laws that will be implemented within the next 10 days. It's swift action in response to Friday's mass shooting, but with very few details.
You know, when Australia found itself tragically in a similar position to what we find ourselves now, they took 12 days to make their decision. We have taken 72 hours.
She's alluding to what Australia did in 1996, after a mass shooting there left 35 people dead. A government-funded gun buyback and a virtual ban on owning semi-automatic rifles cut private gun ownership by almost a third. Australia now has one of the lowest gun murder rates in the world.
The death toll is now at 50, but it could increase. A number of the injured remain in critical condition. Many people, of course, are counting their blessings. I spoke to this survivor. He wants to only use his first name, Abdullah.
You have lots of friends who died.
Yeah, a lot of friends, close friends, people who I used to go out to eat meals with, people who I played football with on the weekends. There was a three-year-old who was killed who I knew, who I watched grow up in front of my eyes.
You knew the three-year-old?
I knew him since he was a baby.
The three-year-old is believed to be the youngest fatality. In Australia, where the 28-year-old accused killer Brenton Tarrant grew up, his grandmother is in shock.
We're all gobsmacked. It's only since he travelled overseas, I think, that boy has changed.
Investigators in Australia have searched the homes of the suspect's mother and sister. We expect the funerals to take place this week. The bodies are finally in the process of being returned to their families. Deborah, one of the most moving moments this past day came when a group of high school students, as a tribute to those killed, performed the traditional native New Zealand dance, the haka. And later tonight, U.S. time, the Prime Minister will deliver a speech to New Zealand's House of Representatives that could be a very emotional moment.
The video, live-streamed by the New Zealand gunman, turned out to be a must-see on social media. Facebook says it removed 1.5 million copies in the first 24 hours after the shooting. The terrorism threat has been raised to the highest level in the Dutch province of Utrecht. Police say one person was killed in a shooting on a tram about 40 miles south of Amsterdam. No one's been arrested. New information on the deadly Ethiopian Airlines crash. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
The Ethiopian transportation minister told reporters their early data from the black boxes of Flight 302 showed similarities to the crash of another 737 MAX 8 in October. We've learned physical evidence found at the crash scene in Africa included a jack screw, which helps lower or raise the nose of the plane. It was set in a dive position. In a statement, Boeing CEO says the company is finalizing its development of a software update as well as a revision to pilot training.
I'm Vicky Barker. Boeing has been issued with a government subpoena requiring the company to preserve records and documents relating to the FAA certification process of the 737 MAX. It's emerged that aviation officials authorized the new model Boeings despite objections from American pilots who'd voiced concerns about possible problems with its stall prevention system.
President Trump spent part of his weekend venting about several topics, including the late Senator John McCain. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
The president tore into the late senator for his handling of the Christopher Steele dossier. McCain turned it over to the FBI. Mr. Trump tweeted that as one of many stains on McCain's legacy, including his vote against Obamacare repeal. Meghan McCain responded to the president, tweeting back, "No one will ever love you the way they loved my father." Late yesterday, Mr. Trump retweeted a woman who said many Americans hated McCain. That was one of more than four dozen posts on the president's Twitter page this weekend. Other targets of his wrath? A repeat of Saturday Night Live, the union local president at a shuttered GM plant in Ohio, and Fox News, which has reportedly suspended one of his favorite hosts for her remarks about a Muslim member of Congress.
There is historic flooding in parts of the Midwest. CBS's DeMarco Morgan is in Elkhorn, Nebraska.
Fields and homes are completely submerged.
I was petrified. I didn't know how fast it was coming up.
Homeowners near the Elkhorn River were shocked by the devastation.
Every piece of furniture in the cabin's underwater.
Floodwater shut down roads and highways, at one point totally cutting off the town of Fremont.
We are trapped. We can't get in or out of Fremont, and so planes are flying in supplies from all over.
CBS's Jim Krasula is checking in on the Carolinas 6 months after a natural disaster there.
Those who lost homes and businesses in Hurricane Florence are still struggling to recover. Matt Varnador is hopeful of a good business year. He took a huge economic hit at his outfitter's store on South Carolina's Waccamaw River.
It was substantial, you know, for my business, because we were just shut down for 2 months.
Florence caused $24 billion in damage and claimed 53 lives in the Carolinas last fall. Jim Krasula, CBS News, North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Joe Camel, meet the Sugar Kings.
Tang, it's a kick in the glass.
Whoa. Researchers at the University of California say tobacco companies employed the same types of cartoon characters they were banned from using to get kids hooked on cigarettes to foster an addiction to sugary drinks.
Oh, wow.
Studies author says it's played a huge part in the childhood obesity epidemic. Happy 50th to one of the most storied teams in sports history. CBS's Peter King from spring training.
For 7 years, the New York Mets had arguably been the worst team in baseball.
And the Mets were known as the lovable losers.
Then came 1969 and a team that became a social phenomenon.
Oh, the crowd in the background chanting, we're number one.
I played 13 years and nobody ever talks about the other 12. You know, it's always about 1969.
Outfielder Art Shamsky is the co-author of After the Miracle, about a team that 50 years later turns grown men into 12-year-olds.
It's like you did something to them to spark something that they remembered in their childhood.
Shamsky says many of the former players are still close, bonded by a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Peter King, CBS News, Port St. Lucie, Florida.
A California mom, angry over the college admission scandal, is suing actresses Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman for $500 billion. And that's the World News Roundup. For Steve Futterman in Christchurch, New Zealand, I'm Deborah Rodriguez. CBS News.